statement of his mother. Kapila could understand her purpose, and he became compassionate towards her because of being born of her body. He described the Samkhya system of philosophy, which is a combination of devotional service and mystic realization, as received by the Siddhic succession. Text 32. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Devanam Gunalinganam Anushadhika Karmanam Satlai Vaikamanasho Vritti Svabhavika Tuya Animita Bhagavati Bhakti Shuddhe Garashyasi. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Lord Kapila said, the senses are symbolic representations of the demigods, and their natural inclination is to work under the direction of the Vedic injunctions. As the senses are representatives of the demigods, so the mind is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind's natural duty is to serve. When that service spirit is engaged in devotional service to the Personality of Godhead, without any motive, that is far better even than salvation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The senses of the living entity are always engaged in some occupation, either in activities prescribed in the injunctions of the Vedas or in material activities. The natural inclination of the senses is to work for something, and the mind is the center of the senses. The mind is actually the leader of the senses, therefore it is called sattva. Similarly, the leader of all the demigods who are engaged in the activities of this material world, the sun god, the moon god, Indra, and others, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated in the Vedic literature that the demigods are different limbs of the universal body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our senses are also controlled by different demigods. Our senses are representations, therefore, of demigods, and the mind is a representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses, led by the mind, act under the influence of demigods. When the service is ultimately aimed at the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the senses are in their natural position. The Lord is called Rishikesha, for he is actually the proprietor and ultimate master of the senses. The senses and the mind are naturally inclined to work, but when they are materially contaminated, they work for some material benefit or for the service of demigods, although actually they are meant to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The senses are called Rishika, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Rishikesha. Indirectly, all the senses are naturally inclined to serve the Supreme Lord. That is called Bhakti. Kapila Dev said that when the senses, without desire for material profit or other selfish motives, are engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is thus situated in devotional service. That spirit of service is far better than siddhi or salvation. Bhakti, the inclination to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is in a transcendental position far better than mukti or liberation. Thus bhakti is the stage after liberation. Unless one is liberated, one cannot engage the senses in the service of the Lord. When the senses are engaged either in material activities of sense gratification or in the activities of the Vedic injunctions, there is some motive. But when the same senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, and there is no motive, that is called animita, and is a natural inclination of the mind. The conclusion is that when the mind, without being deviated either by Vedic injunctions or by material activities, is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is far better than the most aspirational liberation from material entanglement. Om Agyan Timirandasya Kinangina Shalakaya Chaksurum Nitam Yenatas by Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manomishram Stapitam Yenakutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadanti Shvabhadam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Om Nim Shrom Om Param Tatagaha Degakesha Gitala Tadipalojana Padhanakanaka Sparsadeva Sinha Bhokshade. Lord Kapila said, the senses are symbolic representations of the demigods, and their natural inclinations to work under the direction of the Vedic injunctions. As the senses are representatives of the demigods, so the mind is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind's natural duty is to serve, and that service spirit is engaged in emotional service to the Personality of Godhead without any motive. That is far better even than salvation. So in this verse, Lord Kapila Dev is responding to Mother Devahuti's questions about the process of devotional service. And he is saying that actually it is the living entity's natural tendency to serve. All of us are servants by nature. Jivir Surupoya Krishnara Nityadas. That is the natural nature. It is the intrinsic nature of the living entity. And that can never be taken away. Just like when we think of salt, we always think of the salty taste. Because the intrinsic nature of salt is that it is salty. You'll never be able to change that. No matter how much sugar you add to salt, it will always be salty. The same with sugar. When we think of sugar, the intrinsic nature of sugar is that it is sweet. Water is wet in this way. So in the same way, the natural tendency or the eternal nature of the living entity is to serve. So either we are serving in our natural capacity as devotees of the Lord in the spiritual sky, or we are serving the Lord's material energy in the form of Maya in this material world. But service will always be there. And what is the nature of a servant? That he is dependent upon his master. That is the nature of a servant. A servant is never really independent. He is always dependent. So the natural state of consciousness is to serve Krishna in Krishna consciousness. That is natural. But when we fall from grace in the spiritual world to this material world, we want to become the enjoyer. We want to become the master. But the fact of the matter is that we are still serving. In the spiritual world, we have a transcendental form which is appropriate for our spiritual desire. Our natural desire is to serve Krishna, either as a gopi, or perhaps as the parent of Krishna, as the friend of Krishna, as the servant of Krishna. This is the natural desire. And as that desire, based on that desire, we have a transcendental form whereby we serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when that desire becomes perverted, we get a perverted reflection of that spiritual body in the form of this gross material body, which is composed of the senses, the gross body, and the subtle body, which is the mind, intelligence, and ego. So actually, people are very proud of their material body. People are very proud that they have this body. You see, today we're going to go on Harinam. So when we're going on Harinam, we'll see that everyone is dressed very attractively, showing off their material body. But what is this material body? This is the disease condition. It is the ugly representation of the perverted desire of the living entity. In the spiritual world, we have our spiritual form, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And when we forget Krishna, we want to become the master, we want to become independent. The material nature gives us this gross material body to fulfill that desire. What is the nature of this gross material body? Is it eternal, full of knowledge and bliss? No. It is temporary, full of suffering and ignorance. Just the opposite. It is not the natural condition. It is the artificial condition. Just like right now, I am suffering because of this material body. I have a sty in my eye. Somehow or other, I got this, I think swimming in the pool or whatever. But it's very painful, difficult to concentrate when I'm speaking. But maybe you can see the difference between this eye and that eye. This is the natural condition, the healthy eye. And this is the perverted reflection, this is the ugly condition, an eye which is all red and full of pus and so forth. So this is the unnatural condition. So that is the state with this material body. Prabhupada said desire is a subtle form of conditioning. So we are conditioned in this material world by this material body. This material body is not the source of our happiness, it is the source of all our distress. So it is not our natural condition. Why, then, does one... Actually, everyone is aspiring for the natural condition. Just like they have a saying that water seeks its own level. If you pour water into a particular container or reservoir of water from the mountains, then naturally it will determine its own level. It will seek its own level, just by nature. That is the nature of water. So similarly, in this material world, we are trying to find happiness, but that happiness is not there. Because we are basing that happiness on the conception of this materialistic body, which in actuality is the source of all misery. And it is a conditioned state. We are thinking that we are free here, but we are bound by the ropes of material nature. Actually, every action that we perform in this materialistic life is controlled. The senses are actually under the control of the demigods. Therefore, it's stated here that the senses are symbolic representations of the demigods. And as the mind is superior to the senses, so therefore the mind is considered to be a representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the demigods are controlled by the Lord. So similarly, these senses are ultimately controlled by the mind. Therefore, in the practice of yoga, the mind is the central point. Because by controlling the mind, one can automatically control all the other senses. And if one is not controlling the senses, it should be understood that he is simply Godas. Godas means that he is the servant of his senses. And Goswami means that he is the controller of his senses. So what is the result of becoming a Godasa? Matirna Krishne Pratasvatova Mitobi Vratgeta Vrihavratanam Adanta Govir Vishatanta Mishram Puna Punas Charvita Charmananam. Because of his uncontrolled senses, because of his material desires and his uncontrolled senses, a person is gradually gliding towards hellish conditions of life, repeatedly chewing that which has already been chewed. So this is material life. The materialistic person thinks he's in control, but it's actually not the fact. His body is being controlled by his past karmic reactions under the auspice of the demigods. We learn from Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaram vavam tiyachityanta kalevram. Whatever mentality we have at the moment of death, that will determine our next birth. So, with a certain material desire and our past karmic reaction, we are awarded a certain material body. But it is simply a prison house. We are conditioned by that body. Actually, there are different types of bodies. There's 8,400,000 different species of life. And all these different species of life afford us different opportunities to try to enjoy sense gratification. But in each of those bodies, we are in control. We are thinking, I am making a decision that I like this blue color, or I like this red color, or I like this yellow color. Or we are thinking that I like this boy, or I like this girl. Or we are thinking that I like this taste, I don't like this taste. But it actually has nothing to do with us. Prakvite kriyamanani unikarmani sarvashta ahankara yuranda kartanami timanyatari. The living entity in this material world, under the illusion of the material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by material nature. So because we identify with this body, and the body is programmed according to the modes of nature, under the direction of the demigods, it's programmed. It's like you have a computer program. And you push a button, you'll get this. You push another button, you'll get that. You push another button, you'll get this. It's already programmed. When you come into this world because of ahankara, or strong identification with the body, you identify with certain situations which actually have nothing to do with you. You're thinking that you're attracted to red. You're thinking that you're attracted to blue. You're thinking you're attracted to green, to this boy, to this girl, to this taste, to this sound. But it's already programmed into this body. And because of your karma and your perverted desire, you're forced to go on. You're thinking that you're the controller, but actually it's all being carried out by the modes of material nature. Sattvas, rajas, and tamas. It's already been programmed because of your past activities. So actually, this is the first step in self-realization, to understand I am not this body. I have nothing to do with the desires and the tastes and the feelings and the hankerings of this material body. But I'm actually a spirit soul. Nothing to do with it. This is it. This is the first step in self-realization. And I am not this body. Therefore, whatever this body wants actually has nothing to do with me. My body is desiring this, my body is desiring that. But that has nothing to do with my real self-interest. That's just simply the software. That's the software within the hardware. If you know anything about computers, there's the hardware. Hardware is the computer. Software is the information you put into the computer, like WordPerfect, or Microsoft, or WordStar. I don't know how many word processors we have here. But if you've got the hardware, then you put software inside it on a hard disk or on your floppy disk. You've got the hardware, which is the basic unit of the computer. And in order for that computer to function in a particular way, you put in different information, different database, different types of software, different programs, and then the computer functions. So here's the hardware, this gross material body. And what's the software? The software is the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. And that programs this body to act in a certain way. And we are the driver, ultimately, in the body. And the whole problem is we identify with this computer and the software. We're thinking this is actually us. So when the body is attracted or repulsed by a certain set of object of the senses, we think that's we who are experiencing desiring that. But actually it has nothing to do with us. We're not this body. Our real desire is to be with Krishna in the spiritual world, as a gopi or a cowherd boy or a cow or a tree giving fruit or whatever. And we're thinking, yes, I'm a human being, I am a pig, I am a horse, I am this, I am that. So this is prakriti kriyama, guna karmani, living entity under the influence of the modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, which are actually carried out by the material energy. So we have to control those desires, whatever they are. Be they desires of the mode of goodness, desires of the mode of passion, and desires of the mode of ignorance, they must all be controlled. Spiritual life begins by control of the senses. Vachavegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Tara Pashta Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yo Vishahita, Tira, Sarvam Makimam, Pitujim Sishisha. That a sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So this verse actually applies to all of us. Because spiritual life begins from that point where we actually rein in those senses. Those raging senses which are programmed to try to enjoy this material world. We have to stop that sense activity by engaging in the superior activity of devotional service. Now the mind is very difficult to work with. Again, the mind is the central point in the yoga system. So we have to control our mind. If we can control our mind, then we can control our senses. But controlling the mind is not an easy thing. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave the advice to the aspiring Vaishnava that when you wake up in the morning, the best way to control your mind is to beat it 1,000 times with a shoe. I remember when I first joined the movement, I was just a brand new bhakta. I was very surprised to wake up one morning and I saw the temple president beating his head with a shoe. So I thought, what kind of movement is this I am joining, where people are beating themselves with old dirty shoes? So I asked him, what are you doing, Prabhu? He said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that we should beat the mind 1,000 times with a shoe when we wake up. Because why? What is the mind doing when we are sleeping? While the cat's away, the mice will play. So during the night, the mind simply goes wild, has so many nonsense dreams and so forth. So when one wakes up, he must bring the mind into control. First thing upon waking up, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Oh yes, I'm not all those dream bodies. No, I'm Krishna's servant. Hare Krishna. Dreaming is ignorance. And then he said, when one goes to sleep at night, before going to sleep, you should beat the mind 1,000 times with a broomstick. So I haven't seen this yet, but I'm sure some devotees have maybe seen. Because we all know how nonsense this mind can be. After chanting and dancing and taking prasadam and serving our Vaishnavas all day long and intensely engaged in serving the deity or sangatan or farming or whatever, As soon as a mind gets a chance and we go to sleep, it just does all kinds of crazy things. Isn't it? We work so hard to control the mind. As soon as we give it a little liberty at night, it simply goes mad. So in order to give it some good instruction before going to sleep, we take that broomstick, boom, 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 1,000 times. Don't be nonsense. Don't be nonsense. So how to control this mind? Even Arjuna said, I don't know how it is possible, he said to Arjuna. The mind is just like the raging wind. How you can control the raging wind? So there's two ways, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in the third canto, or purport, how one can actually control the mind. One way is to negate the mind. The mind, the intelligence is higher than the mind, so we are using intelligence, we're making intelligent decisions, and I will not give in to the mind. That, I simply won't feed the mind all kinds of nonsense things. Just like when Maya, sometimes Maya comes, even when as advanced devotees, as long as we're in this material world, we have this body, it's in contact with the objects of the senses, there's every chance there'll be material desire. So sometimes desire is coming into the mind. Sometimes material desire, even in the minds of a brahmachari, very strict celibate brahmachari, sometimes anxiety, distress is coming there, temptation. So what to do? Maya's coming, but you don't entertain her. One shouldn't be embarrassed, oh, my mind is thinking of these things. Because we have been in this material world for thousands and millions of lives, time immemorial. So if some thought comes into the mind, it's not surprising. But what is the difference between a devotee and a materialist? And the materialist, he immediately begins to entertain Maya. But a devotee, he thinks, oh yes, this thought has come, but I remember you. I remember how I was a slave working under your direction. Actually, Maya, sometimes she is called Rudrani, just like Rudra, Lord Shiva. He's also in charge of this material energy in a certain way. So his wife is called Rudrani. So Rudra and Rudrani, what is Rudrani, the wife of Shiva, Durga, Maya Devi? What does her name, Rudrani, mean? She who makes you cry forever. That's another name for Maya. Sometimes they call her Mother Nature. So what can, the karmis, right? They call her Mother Nature, like she's so sweetness personified. What kind of mother is this? Maya. She's conditioning us in this material world, making us suffer in so many ways. What kind of mother is that? So Rudrani, she who makes you cry forever. So when these material desires come into the mind, we should not entertain them. We should think, oh yes, how I have worked under your direction, how I have suffered. So that is one form that we don't feed. It's like if a guest comes to your house and he's an unwanted guest, every host knows how to get rid of an unwanted guest. You simply don't feed them. And then they'll go away. Isn't it? If someone comes to your house and you don't feed them, then they'll go away. Same thing with disease. This is one way which one can become free from disease, is to fast. There's different types of medicine. But if you get sick and you fast, then the disease has nothing to feed upon, so it goes away. If you want to keep a guest, then you feed them nice prasadam. That is Vedic custom. Because the Vedic householder, whatever, he likes very much to receive guests in his house. He's not like a grihamedi. Grihamedi means someone who just wants to live in his house all by himself. He doesn't want to be disturbed in his sense gratification. Anyone who comes, it's a challenge. But Vedic culture is that the householder opens his doors, as many people as he can feed, he invites them in. That's Vaishnava etiquette, Vedic etiquette. And if the food is very good, then the guest is naturally inclined to stay longer. So if one wants to keep a sadhu in his house, then it's his duty to fill up his belly with very nice prasadam. Then he can't move. Just like here, there's one Mataji, I don't know her name, she's cooking for us every day. Who's that guy?
Mataji.
The wife of, there's a couple of them.
Wife of Anupama.
A wife of Anupama. What is her name?
Bharati.
Bharati. She's a very good cook. So every day she's feeding such nice prasadam to all the Vaishnavas over at the house. So it'll be very difficult to leave here. Because we are controlled by our tongue. But not by Maya, by Krishna. Because it is Krishna prasadam. Devotee, he doesn't renounce desire, he doesn't renounce activity, but he takes up the superior activity of Krishna consciousness. So We cannot stop desire. Desire is there. But instead of desiring all types of bhoga and nonsense food, devotee desires prasadam. This is natural. He satisfies his desire naturally by taking prasadam. So that is one way that you can actually stop the mind by denying it anything. It's like if you, again, you can stop disease by fasting, you can get rid of an unwanted guest by not giving them food. But then Prabhupada said, that's not always so sure, because we've been in this material world for such a long time. A more sure way is to engage the mind in the superior activity of following the instructions of the spiritual master. That is the best way. Rather than denying the mind any activity, you engage the mind in thinking how to perform the activities or the instructions of the spiritual master. Just like Srila Prabhupada gave us the instruction to distribute books. And then he said to us, you tax your brains how to distribute those books. So the general instruction was there. The Vaishnava Acharyas, they give us the general instructions. But it's up to the devotees to execute the detail. So in so many ways we're engaging our minds. How are we going? We're going to go in the airports, we're going to go in the streets, we're going to go store to store. We're going to use this paraphernalia to assist us in the distribution. We're going to discuss amongst ourselves, what are you saying, Prabhu, what are you saying? So all of a sudden we found ourselves being engaged practically 24 hours a day in thinking how to execute the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the same way, Sri Prabhupada gave us basic instructions, how to live a simple life, simple living with high thinking. He instructed us to open farm communities. So here we can see at New Govardhan, actually there's no dearth of service. We are engaged 24 hours a day. Actually we need 28 hours a day to do the service that we're required to do. In this way we can bring the mind under control by thinking of the superior activity of devotional service. Either we beat the mind into submission or we engage it in a higher service. Yesterday we saw another example of beating the mind into submission. We went to visit the service of Lagudi Prabhu. So he was out there working with his bulls, or oxen, rather. And then he told us a very long story about how he brought these bulls under submission. The bull is like the mind, powerful. So he told us it took many years, isn't it, Lagudi Prabhu? How many years?
3 years.
Huh? 3 years. The devotees used to come and think, what is he doing all day long? These bulls are never going to surrender. All he wanted them to do was to turn around and go down one straight line. But the bulls didn't want to do that. They wanted to go left. They wanted to go right. They wanted to go backwards. They wanted to sit. They wanted to eat. So what did he? Every day he took the whip. And he would yell at them and scream at them and beat them into submission. So finally, after 3 years, the bulls finally went in a straight line. And now they're very attached to it. They don't want to go left, they don't want to go right. They're fixed in going in this one particular direction. So like that, the mind, it may go here, it may go there, but finally, we can actually situate it in Krishna consciousness, actually take up the process, and be a little bit tolerant, a little bit patient, then finally we'll find that the mind is actually satisfied in the superior activity of devotional service. And that is a sign that one is actually steady in Krishna consciousness. That his mind is fixed. His mind is not wavering. It's fixed. Aka Guru Nandana. It's fixed on the process of devotional service. Because we're naturally satisfied. So until that point, we have to be patient. Actually, a devotee, that's one quality of a devotee, that he's very patient. He's simply waiting for that day when he attains that stage of steadiness in Krishna consciousness and his mind is fixed. Until that time, we have to rein in the mind. I follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So I'll stop here. Lord Kapila said, the senses are symbolic representations of the demigods, and their natural inclination is to work under the directions of the Vedic injunctions. As the senses are representatives of the demigods, so the mind is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind's natural duty is to serve. When that service spirit is engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any motive, that is far better even than salvation. So are there any questions?